Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to be looking at the opening five verses this morning. So 1 John chapter 5, we'll read verses 1 through 5, then we'll kind of come back and talk about them this morning. All right, here we go. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Miss Jackie's ready. You got the rest of y'all this way. All right, way to go, Tucker. Appreciate it. All right, here we go. 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. Number three. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, anyway, that question is meant to be asked and answered this way. No one, right? No one. Or only the one who believes, right? All right, so let's go back to verse number one and let's walk through these passages, these verses this morning. So if you'll remember, last week I said that we kind of talked about how verse 4 through 7, 1 John 4, 7 through 5, 5 are kind of one literary unit and how John interweaves a variety of themes that he's already talked at length about because he's trying to bring his book to a close. Like, he's bringing it to conclusion. And we'll conclude that after Thanksgiving week. Just kind of give you a heads up. Next week, we'll have the Lord's Supper. Adam and I were talking, thought that would be a good fitting for Thanksgiving week. And we'll be talking specifically about the Lord's Supper next Sunday. So we'll take a 1 week break from John and then we'll kind of finish out John and then we'll move into a few weeks of Christmas, kind of Christmas themes. All right. So today though, we're going to look at the other half of the equation or the other side of this passage. So last week we talked about some of the key terms. This week the key term is obedience, right? Obedience. And John's going to look at some of his same themes that he's mentioned, but through a different lens this morning. And so when you first read verse 1, in fact, I'll be honest with you, in my notes I wrote, oh my goodness, does John not have anything else to talk about? Because it seems like he keeps saying the same thing over and over and over and over. And then I remembered what one of my buddies had told me many years ago, probably a decade or more ago, and I confirmed via Google because, you know, the internet's always right. It said that we as people need to hear the same message 5 to 7 times before we really get it. I was like, well, that makes sense then. So, you know, when you read verse 1 and it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, you're like, well, okay, we kind of already talked about that. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. You're like, boy, we have talked about that ad nauseum. Like, man, love, love, love others, love others. But John's point is, he's reminding them this is essential, right? This is essential. And so we're going to kind of set this up as kind of an equation of sorts. And it starts here because John has said, again, at length, everyone who's born of God, or who, if you believe in God, you're born of God. If you're born of God, you love the Father. And if you love the Father, then you love other people, right? Now he's going to look at this we're about to put another thing on the end of it that John has not quite connected. But we've seen this kind of equation, if you will, or these steps from the beginning of the book up until now. And so when we turn to verse 2, though, is when John adds a slightly different tinge to this idea. Listen to it again. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments, right? So there's the new piece. So previously we've seen, if I can put it to you this way, you and I prove that we love God when we love other people. That's the evidence. So the evidence that you have a relationship with the Lord is how you treat other people, especially other believers, right? That's kind of the evidence. But what John is now saying is, the evidence that you love other people is how you obey God's commands. You see, though we hadn't taught, though, that's kind of new. So we've talked about this, that you prove that you love God by how you treat other people. And now John is saying, you prove that you love other people by how you obey God's commands. That's new. And so if we could add to that beginning equation, it's like this. If you believe in Jesus, you're born of God. Now, we could throw another little word in there, too, that we've talked about, that he's going to bring up in just a second. If you're born of God, then you abide in God. And if you abide in God, you love God. And if you love God, you love others. And then you're obedient to God as well. And so you see how all of these things stack together. So John is here giving us a new idea. And the new idea is that obedience to God is evidence that you love other people. So let's read the beginning part of verse number 3, and then let's talk about it just a little bit more. All right, here we go. Verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Or this is how we show that we have love for God, is that you keep His commandments. We've seen this from what? Genesis 1 to Revelation. Genesis 1 through 3. What does God do? He creates this wonderful world. Heaven-like, called Eden, right? And just to kind of give you a little food for thought this week, if you look at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, and the end of the Bible in Revelation 21 and 22, you see some similar themes come together, right? And in some sense, you could look at like the end of the Bible as Eden restored, right? That's kind of those themes. And so, but what does God tell Adam and Eve? He says, you can have everything here, just don't do this one thing. And what do they do? The one thing God tells them not to do, right? Right? Hey, that's you. That's us, right? That is me and you. You can do all of this, just don't do this one thing. And what do we run after? The one thing we shouldn't do. Then let's fast forward a little bit. You know, God's people have been in bondage in Israel. They've been enslaved for hundreds of years. And Moses comes and as the movie Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston does, "Let my people go." Bob and I were talking about it. We used to watch that every Easter. I don't know why it came on Easter, but we used to watch it every Easter. After we'd done hunted eggs, we'd flip on the TV. There's Charlton Heston playing Moses in the Ten Commandments movie, right? But what happens after that? See, we kind of stop Exodus right there. But there's a lot that goes on in Exodus after that. And eventually you get to Mount Sinai, and God makes a covenant with His people. And what does He say? In essence, He says, hey, if you will be obedient to my commandments... This is Travis's paraphrase version. I will bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. If you will just be obedient to me, I will bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. And what happens? They just can't do it. Let's fast forward a little bit further. And you get into the kings. I'm reading through 1 Samuel. When I'm here in the office, that's kind of my Bible reading. I'm reading through the Samuel. And if you read past Samuel and you read into Kings and you read the list of the kings, they have a very simple delineation of who was good and bad. And it's kind of in the epitaph of every king. They followed after David and did what was right in the sight of the Lord, or they did not follow in the footsteps of David and they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. God called them to be obedient. Some were. Unfortunately, the majority were not. Then you flip over into the New Testament, and when we read John's Gospel, what did he say? Over and over and over, Jesus is telling his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will be obedient to my Father's word. And so John picks up that theme today. But here's the thing he does. Today, he connects it with not as proof that we love God necessarily, but as proof that we love other people. So let me put it to you bluntly. All right? I'm gonna come back to this at the end of the application. Listen to me. The way you and I love the people that are closest to us in our life is by being the most obedient to God we can be in our life. Right? The best thing I can do for my boys and Holly is to be obedient to the Lord. You want to know why? Because when I am obedient to the Lord, number one, I am doing what God requires. Two, I am leading them well. And three, I am setting an example of how the Christian life should be lived. And I am fostering an environment whereby obedience is the goal. Right? Now, we've just walked from Genesis to Exodus to the Kings to Jesus and now to John. And so the tenor, you could say one of our most basic responsibilities or duties or callings even as a believer is to be obedient to the Lord. So maybe I can say it this way. You are at your best when you are being obedient to the Lord. You are at your worst when you are not being obedient to the Lord. You are at your best when you are being obedient to what God has called you to do and how He has called you to live. And that is the most loving thing you can do for your family and for those in your circle of influence. Because John says the way you prove you love other people is by consistently and constantly being obedient to the Lord. Now, I know what some of you are thinking and what some people who might hear this would be thinking, because it's the same thought I had. That sounds burdensome. That sounds hard. That sounds like an overbearing idea. Well, guess what? John obviously knew that, because what does he say at the end of verse 3? And his commandments are not burdensome. Now, that word burdensome is a fascinating word, okay? So walk with me just for a second into the linguistics of this verse, okay? Burdensome only appears 6 times in your New Testament. But listen to me, it is translated 5 different ways. Yay! There are 5 different English words. For example, it can be weight or weighty, hard, burdensome, just a couple examples. Why is that? Well, here's how we get to the idea, and I'm going to give you maybe a little bit better definition for burdensome that we'll put in this. When this word was first kind of brought into use, it literally meant something that was heavy. So like a stone or an ox or something, you would describe it with this word. It's heavy. But when the word translated into like metaphor and allegory and all that, it began to mean an undue heavy load. So by the time that it gets to John in the New Testament, and we read it this morning, we need to understand this word burdensome as a cruel, undue, heavy load. Right? And so what the image is of somebody piling up work for you or giving you tasks. I used to work with a guy back when I was a teenager. It was my first like real job, I would say. Like I worked with my granddad one summer picking corn, which was absolutely a real job. You get up before dawn and you get covered in, because we picked it by hand fresh, to sell. And we'd pick a truck load full, kind of mounted. Not a short bed like they got today, but them long beds, single cap. We would fill that sucker up. Then we'd go back after lunch. So I did all, this is my first real job, like outside of working with my granddad. And it was for a guy who owned a landscaping business. And so whenever I think of this word, I think of my buddy who ran that business. Because here's what he would do. My first day on the job. Now you got to think, this guy, he's high strung. Okay? Like he's way up here. And so I'm going to have to move this back a little bit to give you an accurate definition of what he did. So here's what he's done. So I show up on the job. It's 8 o'clock in the 8-ish in the morning. He's like, hey, man, Travis, how you doing? Good. Come on back here. So he comes back and he's like, hey, I want you to take this shovel right here. And you see I done got it sprayed out. I want you to dig a square hole about that deep right here. So I'm, hey, Travis, come over here. So I'm like, all right, come. What do I do with the shovel? Just leave it there. All right, you see this over here? I want you to take this and I want you to dig this hole out right here. The square, no, not that one, this one. So I'm like, well, what about that hole? Just do this one. I'm digging over here. He's like, hey, Travis, come over here. You see this pine straw? It's up there at the top. We need it back here in the back. And I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know what to do. You done gave me 3 jobs. I ain't been here 10 minutes. And I'm like, what do I do? Do I do straw? Do I do this? Or do? So one of my buddies, we all went to church together, okay? And so one of my other, he's a year older than me in school. He said, I'm like, dude, I don't know what to do. He's like, just stay with me. We'll get it all. What did he tell you to do? I was like, well, I got to dig out a box for something and then dig a hole over here and then get pine straw. He's like, don't worry about the pine straw. We need to dig these first. And so I stayed with my buddy Matt the rest of the day and he kind of walked me through and I was like, is every day like this? He's like, he's not here most days. You'll be okay. And I was like, oh my gosh, great guy, phenomenal guy. But I was like, bro, I don't know what to, that, when I read that verse, that's what I, when I hear the word birds, that's what I think about. Like, oh. So when we read this, here's how we need to read it. And his commandments are not an undue, cruel, heavy load. So what does that mean? They're the opposite of that, which reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and following. And here's what he said in those verses. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And listen to this, man, this is great right here. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what is the takeaway? God's commands are not an undue heavy load. The question I had is how, right? How are they not? How can Jesus say his yoke, i.e. his commandments, God's, they're an easy yoke, not a heavy load? Well, I'm going to give you one anecdotal piece of evidence and then give you some ideas out of Psalm 119. So anecdotally, for years, Holly and I were involved together with children and teenagers at various churches. And I can tell you, and now she teaches 4-year-olds, 4 and 5-year-olds every day. And I can tell you unequivocally from formalized education and youth and children's ministry, everybody does better when there's boundaries. Everybody. You do better when there's boundaries. Your kid does better when there's boundaries. I do better when there's boundaries. Teenagers need boundaries. We all need boundaries because I can tell you what it looks like boundaries, and it's chaos. And we get what the author of the book of Judges is, and there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Right? That's what happens. When we read Psalm 119, we see some of those boundaries because God's word and God's commands are those boundaries for us. And because the natural inclination when we read his commands aren't burdensome is like, well, yeah, they are because I'm not being allowed to do what I want to do. But remember, the calling of our hearts is not to just do whatever we want to do, but do what God calls us to do. In other words, we were created for obedience. And here's what obedience to God's word provides. It provides purity. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In verse 49, it talks about his word brings hope. In verse 66, it is a foundation for good judgment and knowledge. Verse 76, a comfort for us. In verse 86, it is sure and right. Verse 105, it is a lamp unto a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. In other words, it is a guiding director, a leader in our lives. And so God's Word gives us good things. It provides good things, not bad things. Now, yes, does it call us to account in our sin? Absolutely. But that is a good thing. Does it show us where we can be better? Absolutely. That's a good thing, though, because the goal for us is to be obedient to the Lord. And remember, when we are at our best is when we are obedient. And therefore, when we are obedient is when we are loving those near us the most. Right? And then John finishes out in verse 4 and 5. When he says, let's read it again. For everyone who has been born of God, so we've got that idea again, overcomes. There's that word overcome. What does it mean? To conquer. Everyone who's been of God is a conqueror of the world. And how do we conquer the world? And our faith. Faith is the beginning step of the process, right? So it's believe in God, born of God, abide in God, love others, obedience. And how do you believe in God? By faith. What does Paul say? For by grace through faith are we saved, not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? And so faith is the linchpin that unlocks all of what we've talked about this morning and all of what John has talked about in his book. All right? So now, I'm going to give you one thing before we leave this morning. Last week, we asked two questions in kind of application. We asked, how do you love and where do you fear? Because those were the two ideas last week. So the natural question this week is, how obedient are you to the Lord's commands? Well, if we're all honest, the natural response is, today I might be okay. Tomorrow, don't ask me. Or don't ask me about Thursday. Right? Because the reality is we all need help being more obedient to the Lord. But the reality is obedience, when we are obedient to the Lord, that comes with actions. Let me give you just a few that come to mind this week, right? Here's a few things that are good things when we are obedient to the Lord. Here's what happens, right? We love not just in our words, but in our actions, right? And deeds. That's some of the things that John's already talked about. Loving or being obedient to the Lord means sometimes I guard my tongue, my eyes, and my ears. It means I live off of truth, not off my opinion or my emotion. It means, husbands, that you love your wife as Christ loved the church. Parents, grandparents, it means that we do not provoke our children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It means that we shepherd those in our flock well, that we are servant leaders like Jesus. And it means, ultimately, that we put obedience to the Lord first and foremost in our lives. So let me ask you again, how or where do you need and I need, where do we need to be more obedient to the Lord? Because whenever we are obedient, we are being the best versions of ourselves, which means we are loving our community and those in our circle the best. So I don't know. What about you? Where do you need to be more obedient, or where do you need to have help be more obedient this week? Here's the amazing thing, that if you're willing to ask that question and be honest about the answer, the Lord is willing to help you in that. It's not like the Lord's up in heaven going, well, hey, sorry, bud, you had your shot. Sorry, man, you blew it this week. No, He is what? Sending His Holy Spirit to fill us, to help us, to accomplish being obedient so that we can be the best version of ourselves, so that we can love others the way we need to. Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.